Hour number two of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we're at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Come on out, take advantage of their fast finish sale. Multiple deals working, and Jimmy, they have a fantastic selection that is priced to move.
Well, they do, and the key thing is they've got a wonderful inventory. You can get new vehicles, you can get pre-owned vehicles, but there's a lot from which to choose on this lot. They also have a variety of colors also to suit your style. So come by here and check it out at Oak Ridge Nissan.
Right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue, Oak Ridge Nissan. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello for this next hour to our good friend Coach Al Brown as he joins us to talk hoops, all things hoops related, Vols, Lady Vols, SEC, NCAA, NBA, you name it. And, of course, if you want to join the conversation, 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. Use that number to call the show, or you can text us your question or remark. Coach's appearance is brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. And, of course, Coach, member of the Assistant Coach Hall of Fame, member of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, and he's been a head coach, assistant for both the Vols and the Lady Vols, as well as a number of outstanding programs. Coach, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, John. How are you today?
Doing quite well. Always a better day when we get to catch up with you. And it starts with the Tennessee Volunteers, a part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. How different is it knowing that this is the last go-around, the 10th and final go-around between the SEC and the Big 12?
Well, it's too bad in a way. It'll be interesting to see if they eventually get together with either the Big Ten or the ACC for a challenge. But the Big 12 challenge with the SEC has been good. It's good for both conferences, and it brings a lot of energy to the middle of the conference season. Now, from a coaching standpoint, breaking up the season with those with these kinds of games is kind of tough in a way, but still, it's something that is a fan favorite, and hopefully there will be another matchup with another conference coming up next year.
The Tennessee Volunteers have done a nice job, really nice job, of bouncing back from what was their first SEC loss, just their third loss on the season a couple of Saturdays ago to Kentucky. They've won three in a row since then, and, Coach, they're just doing such a great job of throwing the clamps on their opponents. They've held eight opponents under 50. They've held 10 to 50 or less. And they just continue to put together, I think it's 11 games that they've won by 20 or more points. What do you think in terms of just how this team has clicked on so many of its performances this year?
Well, John, it's in both ends of the floor. Now, they are really very precise offensively and do a nice job of executing their motion offense, which is tough to defend. So that helps their defense as well. But, you know, as you mentioned, they have just been really clamped down on all the teams that they've played. The LSU at LSU, where they only gave up 56 points. And then they come back against Georgia and hold Georgia to 41. Now, both of those teams are good basketball teams. And to do what the Volunteers have done is just absolutely outstanding.
Do you like, Al, their small lineup?
Well, you know, it was interesting. Their small lineup produced rebounds and of course, is very effective defensively. I like their small lineup. Now, it depends on who you're going against. If they were going against, let's say, Michigan or Purdue, or just picking out two teams that have great big post players, it would be difficult to go with a smaller lineup in all probability. But I think it's a good switch.
Al, we saw with some feel like if Tennessee's hitting their shots, you're going to win. If they don't, they lose. Against Georgia, they shot less than 42%. Do you think that's an oversimplification? If they shoot well, they win. If they don't, they lose?
Well, you know, obviously shooting well helps everybody and helps a team. But when you play defense the way the Volunteers play, you can get by with not quite so accurate a percentage shooting the basketball. But they will have their moments, and I think that the defense helps when you're not shooting the ball very well, and they are not a great three-point shooting team at all. They do make eight a game, which isn't bad, but it's an interesting point, Jimmy.
I want to ask you this about Toby Awaka and get your take on it. He was 4-for-4 at the foul line the other day. Plavsic and Adu were 1 out of 6. If you're late in the game and you want a big man in there, are you going to play the guy that's the best free throw shooter or go in another direction and play a guy that maybe is more of a veteran?
Hopefully you're going to go with the best free throw shooters in a tight ball game. And this might be what you referred to earlier about the smaller lineup. This might be when you're going to use a smaller lineup or the shorter lineup, I should say, to counteract that. It's just like having a point guard that can't make free throws. You really don't want that point guard in the game, although sometimes you don't have any choice. But that's a good point to make. You want to have your best free throw shooters in at the end of the game, especially when the team elects to foul.
Our guest coach, Al Brown, if you have a question or comment for Coach, 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. Talking Tennessee hoops. Coach, you mentioned the LSU performance, and then the game against Georgia was something. Jimmy was tracking it. I mean, it was, if not for that last-second bucket, it was less than a point a minute.
Well, yes, and Georgia had been playing some really and is going to play good basketball. They just ran into the buzzsaw that is Tennessee, and I mean, when you only get 22 points in one half and 19 in the other to score 41, you haven't had a good day. And of course, the shooting percentage for Georgia was 29 overall and 18 from three. And they only got to the free throw line 12 times. So it was just a great dominating performance by the Volunteers.
And when it's one that you have in hand, as Tennessee had before the end of the first half, not that you don't start looking ahead, but you could just tell in terms of minutes played, things like that, you only had two scores that got into double figures, and it just seemed like it was a very well-managed second half. At this stage of the season, as you approach the midway point of your conference schedule, what does it mean to where you get that kind of a break where you can let the starters play less than what for some had been recently 37, 38, or even 40 minutes within the last couple of weeks?
Well, it's very important, John, as you go down the stretch, not to wear your team out. And when you have that situation where you have, two, four, six, eight, nine guys that played 20 minutes, 20-plus minutes, that's going to help you as you move forward because rest at the end of the year is really important. And the only way you can do that is by having a good roster of rotating nine players, if you can, comfortably. And the Tennessee Volunteers have been able to do that.
And why don't we go ahead and grab a break? Our first of the hour, we'll tell you that this hour brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. Coach, they've been proudly serving East Tennessee since 1953. Granted, they've been in business for 70 years, but they haven't been serving the Brown family that long. But ever since you arrived in East Tennessee, that has been your go-to, and it has certainly paid off, hasn't it?
Well, it has, John, and it's been about 30 years now since I came to Tennessee and met the Matlock family and had my automobile worked on and serviced and tires at the Matlock store. It's just been a wonderful relationship, and anybody that goes there will find they make you feel right at home from the first day they meet you until they work with you from that point forward.
Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. You can likely find one close to you as they're proudly serving Knoxville, Lenoir City, Maryville, Athens, and Hardin Valley. Again, serving East Tennessee since 1953. More with Coach Brown coming up as Sports Talk Today is at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue, as you listen to 99.1, the sports animal.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest this hour, Coach Al Brown. To join the conversation, you can do so in a couple of ways. Using the same number, 865-656-9900, 865-656-9900. You can use that number to call and join the conversation, or use that same number and text us your question or comment. But we head to the phones, and it's Bill who joins us. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. My question was about somebody called in the other day going they thought maybe Julian Phillips was going to be a high first round or early second round draft choice, and I just thought, oh no, you know, I don't want to lose him, and I wondered if y'all thought, Coach Brown thought the NIL could help by giving him some money to stay, and maybe he might could go after his second year or third year or something like that.
Well, I think the NIL can be a factor in that case. The information that he would get or any player would get at the end of the season would be what his draft stock looks like. And those mm-hmm. projections are fluid. It doesn't always work out the way they're described to the prospective athlete. But the NIL can come into play, certainly. Not knowing the numbers that he might have access to now or in the future, it could be a factor. But hopefully he will stay another year at least because he needs that. I don't know exactly where his NBA stock is at this point in time, but he's not quite ready to make that jump as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, I couldn't agree with you more. I really felt that way just mainly because of the age for Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, and I kind of feel like they're struggling a little bit in their careers because they're only 20 years old and, you know, could probably be doing just as well if they'd stayed at UT.
Well, there's no question about it. Both of them would have prospered more had they stayed at UT another year at least, and that's – neither here nor there now, but and it's too bad. But we'll see how their career develops in the NBA down the road.
Okay. Well, thank you. I guess that's something that's handled behind the scenes with the different NIL people who pull it together. They have conversations with the player, like through Coach Barnes, about, well, what does it take to keep him? Is that kind of what develops over a period of time?
Well, the coaches aren't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to
say, coaches aren't.
Okay. Coaches aren't supposed to be involved with that. That's the collective working with the prospective athlete or the athlete that's in school, and that's between the athlete and the collective. The coaches really aren't supposed to have anything to do with it, but that's just fool's gold. They do have something to do with it from time to time.
Bill, we appreciate the call, and that's what I was going to say, exactly what Coach said. And so, Jimmy, the collective can communicate with the university, but it's not supposed to be that there's any brokering of a deal by the university for an athlete with a collective.
Yeah, ask Florida how that worked out. and the thing about Phillips to me is that about this whole question, how much money do you get in NIL? What's your draft stock? And do you want your rookie contract to go ahead and get started? So that those are some of the considerations he'd have. But I think he looks to me like he could use another year. He is not as consistent as I think he needs to be, which is why I think he needs another year.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question. I mean, Coach Barnes, Coach Brown has been very progressive in terms of he wants as many of his players to examine and get feedback from the NBA, even if they're projected as a second rounder or perhaps not as a draft pick in the two rounds that they have. But he's all about players getting the feedback from the league simply for the fact that they know what their path either is or isn't. And so many times you see players come back and work even harder in terms of trying to make themselves into a better prospect.
Well, that's right, John. They get a lot of good information on their draft stock and what they need to work on. And if they're not a high draft pick, they're told these are the skills that you need to develop in order to be considered a high draft pick. And so that really comes into play. It's very important that they make a wise decision because that of course is their future.
Yeah, and there's no guarantee that just because you get a first round grade that somebody goes if it's say mid to late first round. But just looking at the numbers from last year's draft, the last player taken in the first round received a 4-year deal that was worth $11.25 million. I don't know. We haven't seen it yet, Jimmy, in terms of a Tennessee basketball player get any kind of a deal like that. Doesn't mean you wouldn't get one, but we just haven't seen that one. So a first-round grade could likely be, as they like to say, life-changing money.
Yeah, it would be. And if you get that projection to where you're comfortable, you'll be a first-rounder. It just makes financial sense to go. Although you do wonder – if you're going to be the 25th pick and you stayed another year and then you become the 10th pick, that could be a considerable amount of money as well.
Yeah, and we saw it last year with Kennedy Chandler, Coach, and that was a lot of people had him. And, of course, you had him projected as a second rounder. But there were a lot of NBA mock drafts that had him sneaking into the first round. And so he wound up at his ideal destination, and that would be with the Memphis Grizzlies. But in terms of draft stock, he could have benefited greatly from coming back for another year, wouldn't he?
Oh, no question about it. He could have improved his draft status. Jimmy mentioned if you're 25th, let's say, and you come back and you're 10th the next year, that makes a world of difference. So it's there are no guarantees at all, but the more that you can learn from your college experience and in one like you have here at Tennessee, the better prepared you're going to be for the NBA. Because contrary to what a lot of people think, those NBA players play defense, and it doesn't always show up in the score sheet at the end of the game, but defense is really important. And Coach Barnes is a defensive guru for everybody knows that.
Let's go back to the phones and talk to Tony. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Tony.
Hello, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Good, Tony.
Doing well. Coach Brown, I just wanted to get your comments about Geno's statement last night right before halftime when he blamed the officials for Tennessee getting back in the game And then also when he made the comment, is this what you get when you come here? Like as if every time you come to Knoxville, you get cheated or the referees lean toward Tennessee. Now, granted, I did see some block calls that I think should have been blocks, but it went both ways with Tennessee and Connecticut. And also, he didn't give Tennessee any credit for turning up their defensive pressure and attacking the rim as they were doing when they were going to the foul line. But I just think it was real classless and distasteful for what he said. And I'll hang up and listen to you.
Well, it was totally Gino. That's him. And if he doesn't like the officiating when he comes to Tennessee, he doesn't have to come. There's no nobody put a gun to his head and said you got to play this series. He elected to do it. I could say the same thing about going to Connecticut. This is what we get when we go to Connecticut. But as you mentioned, it was a classless comment. It was the heat of the moment. He was upset, but it really had nothing to do with the officiating. It had more to do with how his team was playing in the second quarter.
Well, let's examine the facts here, Al. So, Gino, let's see. Connecticut players were whistled for 17 fouls, and Tennessee players were whistled for 18. Wow, what a good point, Gino. Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. That was quite a disparity, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Tennessee had one more foul called on them than Connecticut. That's what you get here. Okay. Just want to make sure. Just checking the facts, Gino.
Yeah. Hashtag home cooking? Question mark?
Yeah. Goodness.
And I do think, Coach, that you've hit on what would be the perfect title if there was ever a reality show that we saw each week, what the life of Gino Auriemma was. Totally Gino would be the perfect title.
Absolutely, John.
We've got more with Coach Brown as he joins us. His hour brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. To join us, 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. Use that number to call the show. You can use that number to text the show. We've got more with Coach coming up as the program today is here at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. You're listening to 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We're at Oak Ridge Nissan today. Take advantage of their fast finish as they have a fantastic selection, great pricing when it comes to the number of vehicles that are on their lot right now. Not only is it the fast finish, Jimmy, but it's also their construction reduction sale. But just because they got a lot going on in terms of their new showroom that they're putting together doesn't mean you won't get great deals and doesn't mean you won't get great service.
Well, their service department's outstanding, and you bring that up, and that's good to mention. But also, here's the deal, too. Once you get a deal, and they will make a great deal with you, if you have served our country, they're going to knock off some more money, about $500 on that deal. So they'll take care of you. Great inventory, new vehicles, pre-owned vehicles. It's all right here at Oak Ridge Nissan.
And again, our guest is Coach Al Brown. Coach, what were your takeaways last night as you had number four, Connecticut? That was their highest rating coming into last night's game. Lady Vols were number 26 if you extrapolated the Associated Press poll past 25. And so it was a 9-game win streak for the Lady Vols coming into the game, 11 straight wins for Connecticut. What did you think in terms of the performance for the Lady Vols as really Connecticut just came out and couldn't miss to start?
Well, the problem with Connecticut is if you control them in the opening quarter, which several teams have done and stayed in the ball game, you're in good shape. But if they go off on you in the first quarter, as they did last night, scoring 33 points, it's tough to make up that difference because when you get down 33-17, it's really a major uphill battle. And the Volunteers, or the Lady Vols did a great job of coming back. And the second quarter, outscoring them 19-7, and then early in the third quarter, being down just 2 points, but the Lady Vols weren't able to hold on from that point forward.
It really was something to see. Jordan Horston, which she was not available for the Lady Vols when they won with a fantastic flurry of a finish at Missouri to avoid losing as they were down five with about a minute or less to go. But Horston, even though she came off the bench last night, she was just ready to go. It was impressive to see everything that she did in terms of her part in trying to help the Lady Vols close what was that incredible start by Connecticut.
Well, it's good to see that she's healthy and back on the court. And as you suggest, she came off the bench and scored 27 points, had 7 rebounds. And Jimmy mentioned it earlier in the program about still had 6 turnovers, but she offset that with a lot of good defensive plays and overall play, a lot of high energy. So it was good to see her back in action again. And hopefully that will continue, and Jackson will be the same as she's been. Although she didn't have an overly productive night last night, she's been Jackson has been a producer, both on the boards and on the scoring end of it. So we'll hope that continues on as they get ready to go to LSU.
Now, let me ask you about the UConn offense, and if I say something you disagree with, you can call a technical foul on me. Here's what I see from UConn's offense. Good passers, good shooters, good scheme, a good basketball IQ. What do you see?
Well, he has always had a great passing offense, and they had 24 assists last night, and it's just exactly what you're talking about, Jimmy. It's a well-oiled machine. They haven't run much different. They haven't changed much over the years. They run a lot through the elbow of the post, they do a lot of off-ball screening and a lot of constant movement, and they play well together. It's not a pleasure to watch when you're playing against them, but if you were watching as a casual observer, it would be interesting to watch because there's a lot of dribble drive stuff in the game today, and his offense does not operate that way.
I think Tennessee right now is getting average point guard play. Am I missing something?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because they rotate the different point guards, Powell and Walker, and then Horston plays a point at times. And there is no consistency there with somebody, being the point guard all the time. I think that might play into it a little bit. All three are talented, and all three bring a different dimension to the game. But in the rotation of three players of that nature, sometimes you get lost in the shuffle.
I want to ask you what you saw in that scuffle between Rekia Jackson and Aliyah Edwards. That I think both of them were assessed a technical, if I'm not mistaken. What did you see in that little mix-up?
Oh, it was Edwards was party to that, and so was Jackson. Jackson was going to get up, and then she brushed against Edwards, and Edwards reacted. And, yes, both of them were assessed technicals. It was a play that could have gone, un-technical, so to speak. They didn't have to call anything there, but they did, and that was unfortunate because that was, if I'm not mistaken, the third or fourth foul on Jackson.
Wanted to get your thoughts, Coach, on what we heard late in the broadcast, and it highlighted what Gino Auriemma has been through and the fact that his mother passed away not long ago. He had fallen ill after that and missed some time, has missed a couple of stretches. And he's also had to go through that once or twice the last couple of years And as a number of coaches at times have had to hit that pause button and step away from their program. And I am curious, do you think, as Rebecca Lobo kind of hinted at, that this could be maybe his last ride? Do you think that it would be something that would be announced at the end of a season, perhaps? And who knows? It could be that he might look at riding off into the sunset should they eventually win another championship.
Well, that may be true. He's 68 years old, and he has experienced some health issues from time to time in the past, not only this year, of course, but as you mentioned, prior years. And it's a tough business, and it's something that takes a lot out of you on a daily basis. And so when you end up, if he does get tired of this rat race, so to speak, I think stepping away would be in order. But I think maybe, as you hinted, he's probably going to try to win this year, of course, another national championship. But somewhere in the near future, or the not too distant future, I guess I should say, he's probably going to step aside.
Our guest, Coach Al Brown. His appearance brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair, proudly serving Knoxville, the North City, Maribel, Athens, and Hardin Valley. We'll get a break. Final segment with Coach Brown coming up. His top fives are right around the corner as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Final segment to hour number two of Sports Talk. Final segment for us with Coach Al Brown. And, Coach, before you give us your top fives for men's basketball, top five for the country, top five in the Southeastern Conference, what did you think in terms of DePaul, which had just beaten Xavier, became the first Big East team to lose to Georgetown in the regular season as the Hoyas had somehow amassed a 29-game conference losing streak?
Well, that was quite an event. You outlined it perfectly. Georgetown couldn't beat anybody in conference, and they're calling for the coach's head, naturally. And then they all of a sudden up and surprised DePaul, so to speak.
And so how do the top five stack up? Let's start first for the nation and then second for the Southeastern Conference.
For the nation, I still like Arizona a lot. I've got them in fifth in my poll, in my top five. Arizona is 18-3 and really very good, without question. Kansas State, who's setting the Big 12 on fire, I've got them in fourth. They beat Kansas. They're playing great basketball, and so they're number four. Number three is Alabama. They're 18-2. Number two is Houston. Even though they lost to Temple the other night, Houston is still one of the best teams in the country. And then my new Boilermakers are first in my poll and not a lot of other polls right now at 20-1 and a big win over Michigan last night.
Al, take a look at your women's top fives nationally and then the SEC.
Well, we'll go with the top five men's in the SEC. We didn't get those.
Okay.
That'll be Alabama 1, Tennessee 2, A&M 3, Kentucky 4. I still like Kentucky a lot, and Auburn 5. And then on the women's side, nationally, South Carolina at number 1, LSU number 2, Stanford number 3, Ohio State, even though they lost to IU last night, in 4, and Connecticut in 5. In the SEC women's top 5, South Carolina and LSU, of course, will be at the top. Tennessee at 8-0 is third right now, with a game coming up with LSU this weekend, and then Ole Miss next. And then Ole Miss will be number 4, and Arkansas at number 5.
LSU really had a weak non-conference schedule, and they were beating teams by 50 and 70 points. That doesn't seem to have hurt them. What are your thoughts on them playing a weak schedule? Because maybe it engendered confidence in this team. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think they gained a lot of confidence. I think in the first 5 games they scored over 100 points, and she put together a lot of transfers, 3 or 4 transfers in with her the rest of her squad. Interestingly enough, there's not a returning player on that LSU ladies roster from last year's game with Tennessee. They're all new, and so it's going to be an interesting matchup. But she's done a masterful job of putting everything together and scheduling as well as playing, and they're playing great basketball in the conference right now. We'll see where that leads, but kudos to Kim Mulkey.
And what do the Lady Vols need to do to take that next step to get to improve here over the next few weeks? Because obviously they got LSU coming up, and that's going to be a battle.
Oh, absolutely. They need to get the everybody back in a rotation that they had. Jackson coming off the bench, Horston back on the court. If they do that, they've got a chance. The problem that they have now without Key in there is a post defender, and that's coming up with Reese at LSU, Boston at South Carolina. It just makes their job doubly tough because of the fact that they don't have a big presence in the post.
Al, Scott Gropp's joining us, and he agrees with everything you just said.
100.
Well, that's because he's had a birthday, and he's right on top of everything now. And as I told him last week, I'll be there in 10 minutes. So I can save thousands.
I love it.
Coach, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend's worth of basketball, and we'll catch up next Friday.
Thanks a lot to everybody. Scott, good talking to you. You take care. And
you
keep
too,
those
Coach.
Deals coming, and we'll check in next week.
All right, Coach. Thank you, sir.
That's Coach Al Brown joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. You'll find one near you, proudly serving Knoxville, Lenoir City, Maryville, Athens, and Hardin Valley, proudly serving East Tennessee since 1953.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.